Hi, welcome back to another Gets My Goat by Rachel Howell podcast. I'm glad to have you guys all here with me today. Hope you enjoy this. So today we're going to get into talking about how to get started in raising goats. Maybe you're someone who has not done it before and you're just wanting to try something new and something different. Or maybe you are someone who's done it before and you're just kind of looking for the best way to do it, and you're wondering how to get started up again. Or maybe you're looking for a more planned out way to raise your goats. You're looking for an end goal. So either end of the spectrum, whether you've done it before or not, we're going to be kind of talking about that today. So, starting with getting into the whole goat business thing, I suggest sitting down literally with a pencil and a piece of paper. So if you don't have one, you might want to get one to take some notes if you'd like. So I'd literally get a pencil and a notebook and set that notebook aside for raising, as a goat notebook. Everything important that needs to be written down will be in that notebook for you. Whether it's crunching numbers, whether it's before you get started, pros and cons of whether or not to start raising goats, anything that is goat related that you need should be in one place and in that notebook, preferably. So, there's a lot of different ways to go about it. There's a lot of different reasons and ways that people raise their goats. And there's a lot of different purposes that goats are raised for. So most of the time a majority of the world, actually, goat is a main part of what they eat. So in a majority of the world, the United States not included necessarily, goats are raised primarily for eating. And in the United States, yes, we do eat goat, but our main thing that we raise to eat in the United States is, what do you think? Cows, probably, right? So if you're wanting to have a goat that is for eating, that's obviously going to be vastly different than having a goat as either a pet or having a goat as milk production or to show. The needs are different, the raising is different, the food is different, the way you interact with them is different, and their end goal is obviously very different. So, let's talk about what you're going to need before you actually bring anything on the property. You are going to need a place to put the goat, an enclosure. That goat will need shelter. That goat will need food, something to eat out of. It will need water and something to drink out of. It will need minerals and something to get those minerals out of. We'll talk about that in a second. And then, of course, you're going to also want to take into account the financial responsibility. They are not necessarily cheap, and you cannot have, I said this in the last episode, you cannot have just one goat. You have to have at least two, if not three. Anything over three is kind of, actually anything over two really is up to you completely, but you cannot have just one single goat in a pen by itself. They do not like that. They are not made that way. It doesn't matter how mean or nasty the goat is. It needs to be with something else. It needs to be near another goat. That's just how they are. They are herd animals. So the financial responsibility of it obviously increases with the amount of goats that you have. So that's something to kind of take into consideration. So before you get your first goat, plan the size that you want your herd to be. And I don't know if I would necessarily and you can do this. I don't know if I necessarily say, I only want 5 goats. I'm not having more than 5. Just a random number I'm throwing out there. And that's fine. It's easy enough to say, I only want this many and no more and no less. That's okay. But you also want to plan for either end of the spectrum. So you can't just say, well, this is about how much, you know, this is about per year how much 5 goats will cost me. You can say that, but it's always better financially to plan a little bit more for a little bit more than what you think you're going to need, because there's things like emergencies, things like planning for hay, you know, so it's always good to have a little bit to fall back on financially. So save up a little bit more than you think you're going to need. Doesn't have to be thousands and thousands, but maybe just a couple hundred more than what you think you're going to need money-wise. So we'll get to that, more on that in a minute. So let's talk about the shelter, because this is going to be very important. So our goat pen right now is actually, it's a circle. It's a great big round circle. It's not just a gigantic pasture that they run out on. And it's several yards in diameter. It's a pretty good size. Like you could probably easily fit 15 goats in there. So it's a pretty good size enclosure. And it's made out of hog panels, actually. So they're going to be, and they probably call it something different at the, you know, at the grain store, at the feed store, where you're going to get these panels. But we always called them hog panels, and they have square holes in them. And you can get them in varying sizes, but they're about 4, maybe 4.5 feet tall and about 8 feet long. And that actually works pretty good for most goats. Goats can jump, but most of the time they can't jump that high just standing from the ground. So that's actually a pretty safe bet as far as keeping them contained. How many of those panels you're going to need obviously depends on the size your enclosure needs to be, and the size your enclosure needs to be depends on how many goats you want. So you got a lot of play there. These panels are going to run you probably for the whole thing, probably a couple $100. So please be prepared for that. They're not necessarily cheap, but they are not necessarily extremely expensive. They are definitely going to be cheaper than, let's say, something like Powder River horse panels, which an average goat will probably definitely be able to get out of. So we have those panels, and then we have T-posts kind of all the way around, and the panels come together and are wired to the T-post. So it's fairly secure, and of course we do have trees and stuff like that we have some of the panels anchored to, so that helps with stability also. But there are quite a few T-posts around the outside of the goat pen. So the shelter, so that's the enclosure. The shelter that they need, actually, one more quick little thing about the enclosure. Those panel, the squares that are in those panels, the square openings, baby goats can, will, and do get out of. They eventually will get big enough to where they can't, but for the first couple months, at least until they're weaned, they go back and forth, in and out of those things. It's a fact of life around here. Kidding season means baby goats getting in and out of the pen. It's just a thing. If you wanted to, you could probably put maybe a foot or a foot and a half of, like boards or wood or something at the bottom of the pen to kind of block off those first few squares, because they are several inches in diameter. They're probably a good 4 to 6 inches square. So you could cover those with something like wood to prevent the babies from getting out. But if you don't, the babies will get out of those if you have baby goats. So just be prepared for that and be warned about that. It is frustrating, but it doesn't last forever. So now the shelter, what do they need in terms of something to live in, you know, something to get out of the weather? We have two sheds, and I call it a treehouse, but it's a very old, dilapidated treehouse, but it does give them something to stand under. So we have two sheds and then the treehouse. One shed is not very, it's not huge, but it can fit probably a good 4 to 6 goats in it comfortably, I want to say. It's basically a lean-to. It's probably 10 feet deep and, well, actually, it's probably about 15 feet deep or so, and probably about 15 to 20 feet wide. So it's more or less a rectangle, but it does serve its purpose for getting them out of the weather. And it's facing east, so, you know, they can get out of the wind and get out of the rain. And it does have a tin roof on it, but it's a short roof. I'm about 4'10", and I have to bend over to get in it. I can't stand up in that shed. So it's really low, but it's sturdy. And they do actually use it. They like it. And it's, you know, got a dirt floor. And then our other shed, which I call the kidding shed, is bigger. It's roughly twice the size of the other shed. And it has a nice roof on it. It's probably, the ceiling is probably, I don't know, 20 feet, maybe 25 feet tall. It's pretty good. It's not gigantic, but it's pretty good size. And that's where we set up our kidding for the, you know, for kidding season. We'll set up our panels in there. If we have a sick animal, we'll put them in there. We feed them in there sometimes. So that's the main, shed. And that, the door to that shed is actually facing our house. So we can sort of kind of, our house is quite a ways away from that, but we can sort of kind of see into it and see what's going on when they have babies in there or when they're sick or whatever. So I do like that shed. It does not have a door on it, but it did used to. It just kind of, you know, got old and came off, you know, we took it off the hinges before it fell down. So it does not have a door on it, but that shed is actually, it has, some of it is logs and some of it is like wooden planks. Most of it is wooden planks, but the general frame that it's standing on is log. And it has a shingled roof, a really old shingled roof. So it's actually really nice. So something like this or something like a lean-to is really what they need to be in. It does not have to be fancy. It does not have to, you know, be gigantic. Our kidding shed does actually have electricity going to it. And that's actually, if you can manage it without too much trouble, having a shed in it that has electricity is important. It's helpful in the wintertime. Sometimes we put a heat lamp in there for them, or sometimes we just like to have a light bulb in it. It does have a ceiling fixture, so we have two light bulbs in the ceiling, and then we can set up, I think, two heat lamps in there, so it's pretty good lighting. And it doesn't hurt to have electricity. You never know when you might need it. So that's always something to think about. But again, they don't need a whole lot, but they do need something to get them out of the weather. Now, where to find baby goats and when, or just goats in general, that will depend on what specifically you're looking for. So let's go back to what we talked about in the beginning here. The types of goats that are out there, what they're for, and where to find them. So the types of goats that are out there, I'm just going to kind of do a broad spectrum. They're either a meat goat or they're a milk goat. So as far as purpose goes, meat goats, obviously, they're born, they're fed, and then once they get to the desired size and age, which is not very old, they're probably about 8 months old, if that, when they're butchered. And then that's it. As far as milk goats go, they're born and then they're raised until they're sexually mature. We breed our goats around a year old. They have their babies and then they produce milk. That's the premise of a goat dairy or a cow dairy or anything like that, is get this goat safely to breeding age, make sure she's healthy, and then they have babies and produce milk. So those are the two. And then, of course, you know, there's the you can break down those categories into pet, you know, pet status and show quality, pet quality and show quality. But still, goats are going to be one of those two things 99.9% of the time. So, where to get them? Well, it's fairly simple. If you're looking for a meat goat, you need to find a meat goat raiser. And if you are looking for a milk goat, pet goat, show goat, you're going to want to find a dairy. Now, of course, you can get a show goat from a meat goat raiser because they do have breed stock in both categories, and they do have show stock in both categories. So if you look around your area, and if you are in an agricultural area, chances are someone will have a goat nearby. Someone nearby within a couple hours of you will be a goat raiser. So it won't be too hard. But if you live somewhere that's not like that, you know, if you are just outside the city limits or close to being outside the city limits and you're not really an agricultural area, but you're not necessarily like a big city like New York, it could be a little bit harder. So I suggest looking, and this is going to sound crazy, I suggest looking at Craigslist. We actually, up here, we have GorgeNet classifieds, but GorgeNet does not encompass, it encompasses Washington and Oregon around the Columbia River, and that's about it. So if you're in that area, GorgeNet is a good bet. But if you're outside of that area, I suggest going somewhere like Craigslist or the ABGA, which is the American Boar Goat Association, or ADGA, the American Dairy Goat Association, online. They can probably get you some good leads on breeders in your area, and they'll be registered on, you know, they'll probably be registered with the ABGA Association, respectively, either dairy or boar. I'm looking up ADGA here. I have my computer here with me. So if you're wanting to do that, that's a good bet. However, those goats are going to be your, basically your thoroughbreds of the goat world. ADGA and ABGA are very top of the line, registered goats, meat lines, milking lines, world champion show lines, all that good kind of stuff. So there's that. And I'm taking a look at ADGA here really fast just to make sure that they have a way to connect you with a breeder or something. There's shows here, knowledge base, there's youth categories, membership, all that good kind of stuff. So you can check out the ADGA website, or there's always something like There's lots of good groups. I would not just post on your personal Facebook or anything. I would definitely would not necessarily go to Facebook Marketplace because I don't think posting live animals is allowed on Facebook Marketplace. But there's good groups on Facebook that are dedicated to goat raisers and goat exchange and how, you know, getting started and things like that, that will be more than willing to help you. And going back to breeders really quick, in your area, most of the time in early spring, sometimes fall, but not necessarily, early spring, they'll be having their babies, they'll be kidding, and they'll have bottle babies. They'll be, you know, babies that are rejected or babies that are, they don't want to keep, or babies that are just too many, babies that they take away from the mama. Because sometimes if a doe has more than three babies, they'll take one and find it a home or bottle raise it so that the mom isn't under such pressure, but they don't all do that. So it's not impossible to find your stock, your actual animal, but please ask questions. Ask lots and lots of questions. And here's a few suggestions to get started. Is the mom on site? Is the doe that had the babies on site? Which is going to probably be a given. Is the buck that sired the babies on site? That's going to be a little bit more difficult because sometimes they will either rent a buck from someone, bring him in for a couple of weeks, get their breeding done, and send him back. Or they will load up their does, send them to someone who has a buck, get them bred, and then bring the does back onto the property. But that's when you're dealing with, like, you know, 20 does, that's not as likely. And when you have that many, they will probably have if they're like a big actual dairy or meat goat raising operation, chances are they will have the dams and the sires, the moms and the dads, on site. So ask if they have either one of them on site. Ask when the babies were born. And ask if they will think about the purpose you want them for. If they're a pet, if you want the goat for just a pet, ask about the temperament. And ask about the temperament anyway. But ask about the temperament of the mom and dad. Were they standoffish? Are they friendly? Are they dominant? Are they kind of reserved? Ask questions like that. Ask about the person who is caring for the goats, the person who owns the goats. Ask about their experience. Ask how long they've been in the business. Ask for just a few tips that they can give you to help make transition for the goat from one location to another easier. And just ask questions. Just lots and lots of questions. And I'm trying to think of a few more. Let's see. But yeah, so ask, don't be afraid to ask questions when you are potentially going to be purchasing your goats. And before you commit to buying, it's okay to show an interest, but before you commit to actually exchanging money for the animal, go and see it first. Now, this isn't always, you know, we tend to just kind of instant gratification, whatever's easiest type of thing. But if possible, go and see, because this will give you insight into the background of this animal. And you may see, I've had this happen too, you may see things that you're like, holy cow, that you'll learn, or you may see things that you want to avoid. So if possible, go and see the site you're getting the animal from before you actually purchase it, before you exchange money for it. Okay, So you've set up your enclosure. You think you've got it pretty airtight. You're now getting into what to put into the enclosure. Things like feeders and waters and mineral dispensers and things like that. So the feeder that we have, we actually have a hanging bag, and because we have very few amount of goats right now. We only had three, but not anymore, but we only have one now, but that's another story. We actually have a horse hay bag, and it actually works pretty well. We fill it and it lasts them, we put several flakes in there and it lasts them a couple of days. They only need about a flake a day per goat. So leaving them free choice food like that is actually very generous. But like I said, it lasts them a couple of days before they kind of, eat it down to a point where we need to refill it. So, and we've also, and I do this when I have my kidding panels set up, we also use crates, just regular plastic, like milk crates, and those actually work really well. Just as long as the hay is off the ground, feeding on the ground, I know people do it, but feeding on the ground can lead to things such as worms, hoof and mouth. Sometimes they can get coccidiosis that way because coccidiosis is passed through feces of the animal, of an infected animal. So it's best not to feed on the ground. So anything like that. And there's also, if you have a lot of goats, there's also mangers that you can get. They can, you put the hay, you throw the hay over the fence into the manger, and they have little areas that they can put their heads through and eat the hay, but make sure that they're safe and that they're not, getting stuck with their collar on it or anything like that if they wear collars. Most of ours do. So those are just a few options. So crates, milk crates, feeding bags, mangers, anything to keep the hay off the ground is a good idea. Waterers, we use 5 gallon buckets, but you can also use stock tanks if you have a lot of goats. And I have used in the past, I have used a stock tank. The reason I like 5 gallon buckets is because we don't need a ton of water because we only have one goat now until I can find a few more. So 5 gallon buckets, two or three of them is all she needs. And they're easy to clean. You just dump them out, wipe them out with a rag, and refill them. You can get horse waters, or stock waters, which are great big plastic buckets that are several gallons, not just 5 gallons, probably more like 30 gallons or more. So those are good options as long as you have a way to keep them clean. And then mineral feeders. So in our area, we are very deficient in selenium up here, just to name one right off the top of my head that I know we're very deficient in, and we've actually had problems with our herd because we're so deficient. Babies, they need that when they're pregnant to help develop the babies, and they need that even when they're not pregnant, just for normal health and well-being. It, helps their system. It helps their body. And they need that selenium for development and growth. So mineral feeders, you can do loose minerals, which is just like it sounds. It's loose. It's not in a brick. It's not compacted. It's not anything. Or you can do brick minerals, a salt lick, basically, where it is compacted and it is held together. And in order to get it, they either have to lick it or chew it, bite it. But biting is kind of hard for them because they only have teeth on the bottom jaw. So, we got a big, and I actually don't know the dimensions, but it's pretty big PVC pipe. And we got a cap for it and then a little, like an elbow shaped, I think it is called an elbow shaped piece of PVC pipe that corresponded, that fit, and we put them together and we filled it with minerals, put the cap on it, and we used not wire, but it's like wire tape stuff. I know what it looks like, but I don't know what it's called. It's about half an inch, maybe an inch wide, and it's got holes every so often, and that actually worked really, really well. And we did that because we have loose minerals, loose selenium. So they walk up to it, and then they can get their nose and mouth in it and lick it, and then just walk away. However, they don't always like doing that. So it's, you know, kind of a guessing game. So you can do something like that. You could even put it in a black, if you go to a feed store, they'll have a black rubber tub. They'll actually have a variety of tubs and feeders. So there's, you know, things like that that you can do. Even if you have a salt lick that is, you know, 25 pounds or whatever, it needs to be in a tub because, I mean, it's going to get dirty even when it's in a tub, but it's best for it not to just be sitting on the ground. And if it gets snowed on, rained on, or wet, and it dissolves, it'll just dissolve into the tub. And ideally, they can just kind of lick it off the bottom of the tub if there's not too much water, as opposed to it just going into the ground and getting stepped on and pooped on and wasted. So whatever you're doing with minerals, you need to have it off the ground, you know, not so it's not in contact with the ground, even if it's in a tub. And you can put loose minerals in a tub as well. You can just scatter some in there. I wouldn't fill it, but you could scatter some in there for them too. So those are just some of the things that they're to start with. We can talk later, you know, in future. You will need let's talk about a first aid kit really fast, because you're gonna want to get that before you get your animals. It does not have to be tons and tons and tons of supplies. You don't have to have every little bit there is. You know, you don't have to have every goat product there is out there. What you're going to need in your first aid kit is the number of a vet, whatever vet you want to use, but make sure that they are small and large animal or a large animal vet, because not every vet will see a goat. Goats are in some cases considered, you know, exotic or whatever, and that not every clinic and not every veterinarian will see an animal such as a goat. So make sure that you get one that will and that knows what they're doing. So the number of a vet goes in your first aid kit. Blood stop, such as there is actual blood stop powder, but something that works just as well is flour. Literally, just take a scoop of flour out of your flour bag or whatever you keep your cooking flour in, put it in a Ziploc bag, put about a cup's worth in there, and put it in your first aid kit. Super easy, and it works for like if they're gushing blood, that's obviously not going to do it. But, you know, little scrapes and cuts and lacerations, I'll say minor lacerations, flour will do just as well temporarily. You know, you're going to have to wash it off eventually, but just to stop the blood. You will need a collar and a leash, an extra collar and a leash in there in case you need to restrain the goat for any reason. You will need a milking stand. Milking stands are pretty big and typically, well, actually, you can probably do without a milking stand, but it does help to kind of contain the goat better because it stabilizes their head and neck. So there is that. You're going to want probably some gloves because you never know what's going to happen. You might want to get some gauze and put it in your first aid kit. And you're probably going to want to get some LA200, which is injectable. And possibly, if you can, you probably don't need like a whole box of needles, but if you can, get some 3cc needles with a 20 by 1 inch, not inch and a half, 20 by 1 inch needle on it. And you could also get 3cc syringes and needles separate, but that's what I use, is a 20 3cc syringe with a 20 by 1 inch needle on it. So a few of those are good. And you're also going to want electrolytes in there. If you go to the feed store, they do have electrolyte packets specifically for goats. You don't need tons of them, but probably just one, just in case, you have a goat get sick or something and needs a little pick-me-up. You're going to want to have molasses or Karo syrup on hand, probably just a little jar. I wouldn't go out, either a little bottle or jar. I would not go out and buy a, 2 gallon tub of Karo syrup, because they are out there. I would not go out and buy that. I would just get a little bit. And the reason for that is if you have a goat that gets, hypoglycemic or something, needs energy, that's what you're gonna do. If you have a goat that's dehydrated, that's what you're gonna use the electrolytes for, basically. Or is malnourished, that's what you're gonna use the electrolytes for. So there's probably other things that I missed, but those are the basics that you're gonna want in your first aid kit. So, all right. So I think that pretty well covers that part of it and how to get started with goats. If you have any questions, please feel free to drop them, wherever. Drop them below. Please feel free to check out my YouTube channel, Gets My Goat by Rachel Howell. We have a few really cool videos on there. Like, share, and subscribe to that. Drop your questions, comments, future podcasts or video suggestions down there. Love to hear them, love to see them. Next time we'll probably be talking about preventative care. What can you do to help with the health of your herd? And again, don't be intimidated when you're looking for some goats, when you're looking to get started in it. I know it can be pretty overwhelming, but just remember to ask your questions, do your research. Don't be afraid to reach out for help if you need it. And I think we'll call it good there today. Thank you so much for joining me, and have a good day.